On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
I just miss my paper man again. Do you know what I'm talking about? When I was growing up, there used to be a paper boy or a paper girl. There were paper boys when I was growing up. The local newspaper in New Jersey was called the Bergen Evening Record. And I used to deliver papers for them on my bicycle. It was a job the kids had. It was a real job for kids to have. You would deliver the paper to a number of houses on your bicycle. And once a week on a Friday, we would go to all the houses. I would go to all the houses and collect the money. Now, if the people weren't home or they didn't pay me, that was my problem, because I had to pay the newspaper every week a certain amount of money. I kind of like bought the papers from at a discount from the newspaper company, and I would sell the papers at a higher price, which was what you were supposed to do, and then I would keep the profit from the markup. But if the customer didn't pay me or said, oh, I'm a little short of cash right now. A little short of cash, it's a newspaper. How are you even in your home? You buy food for yourself? A donut? How much is a newspaper? The newspaper was something like $1.75 or $2 for a whole week or something like that, if it was even that. I think a single copy of the paper when I was growing up was like 50 cents or 30 cents or something. So if a customer, when I went up to the house, ever said to me, I'm a little short, can I pay you next? A little short? How can you be a little short $1.50? How can you be short $1.50? And then tip me on top of that, will you please? It was very, very annoying. But it was a great introduction to a kid into business. This is how a business runs. You sell something to somebody, and then you got to get the money for it. And the product that you're selling comes from somewhere else. You buy the product, you put it in your warehouse, then you sell it to somebody. And if they don't pay you, you're out the money that you paid for the product to begin with, or paid for the manufacturing. Do I have to give you a whole lesson in business? So I'm very sensitive to newspaper delivery people, we'll call them, to newspaper delivery peeps. Very sensitive to their business and their cause, because I was in it as a young kid. This is my first job, my first real job. I'm not talking about selling lemonade on the corner.
Hey, it's hot outside. You want some lemonade?
Sure, little tiny kid. I'll just give you, I don't want your freaking lemonade. I'll give you like 20 cents.
Oh, thank you so much, mister. Thank you, mister.
That's not a job. I mean, maybe it's a first introduction to entrepreneurialism. Where do you get your lemons, Ron?
I get only the finest lemons. I get the lemons from the store. They're fine. They're wonderful. I grow my own lemons, okay? I grow my own.
No, you don't grow your own lemons. Your mother has a refrigerator. You squeeze some lemons. Or you went to the store and bought some lemonade. And then you poured it in cups. That was your overhead. That was you have to put a little table, a little TV cart stand there, you know, a little snack table. That was your setup. That was your office. That was your sales counter. You know, and then you had to get a piece of paper and write on it, lemonade 20 cents. You had to write that out, you know. I had to advertise the amount, quite obviously. So most people do it, but I was actually working for the news. You know, I was an independent contractor for the newspaper, like 12 years old. It was phenomenal, man. I was hot. I was hot. Wore my little paper boy, my little baseball cap. Sometimes I'd wear it backwards if I wanted to be really cool. Why do people wear their baseball hats backwards with the beak in the back of their head? Isn't the idea of a baseball cap, isn't that thing that sticks out like a duck bill? Isn't that thing to shade your face from the sun so you don't get sunburn on your forehead? Isn't that what that's for? So why the hell would you wear it backwards? What statement are you making by wearing your hat backwards? You know what statement it makes to me? You don't know how to wear a hat. That's the statement it makes to me. You don't know how to wear a hat, do you? Sorry to yell. Well, make sure you can hear me even if your computer dies. So I yell loud. So I have a great sensitivity. People who used to be waiters or waitresses or what do you call them? Table servers? What I don't know what the politically correct thing is. People who are waiters and waitresses are very sensitive when they go to restaurants. They make sure that they tip very well. Why? Because they know what it's like. They were on the receiving end of that. So they have a sensitivity toward it. I mean, even like if you had a relative who had cancer, you know, you have sensitivity toward anybody who has it. Oh my God, oh my God. Oh, my mother had that. Oh my God, my mother had that. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, I feel for you. Oh yeah. You get a sensitivity for these things. So I'm sensitive to my paper man. And I call him a paper man not because he's made out of paper, although he could be. I don't know. It's amazing what they do today with medical technology. They do knee replacements now with cardboard. Did you know that? I'm only kidding. I made it up. I call him my paper man because no longer are there kids on bicycles in my neighborhood. I don't know where you live. You could be out in the Midwest where they still have it. I don't know. But where I live, it's a guy in a car. And it's not a great looking car either. He doesn't pull up in a Cadillac. I guarantee you that. He ain't delivering papers on the way to the golf course. I guarantee you that. He isn't driving a really great car, yet he depends on his car to get him from house to house to deliver these papers. But there's no kids on bicycles anymore. I don't even know if you're allowed to do that because of the liability. If a kid gets hit by a car on his bicycle or her bicycle, who's responsible? Well, it's the kid, obviously, but the papers would feel terrible. The papers would feel terrible. They'd have to report in the paper something happened to one of their own paper people. That would be an embarrassing article to write. Today, it's a tragedy. A boy was hit by a car delivering our papers. But anyway, so we're at fault, I suppose, but we're not. But he was delivering our papers and risked his life so that you may read the news and the comics. Risked his life for you. I have a paper guy, and my assumption is that, and this is a horrible thing to say, but my assumption is he doesn't make a lot of money. He may have another job. He may be retired. I've never seen him before. I see the car pull up sometimes, and I see the guy get out of the car and put the paper on my front porch and leave, but I don't see his face. I don't even know what I don't know if he's black, white, Chinese. I have no idea. Because he's wearing his baseball cap forwards, so I can't see his face. Yeah. I used to mail him tips. He leaves little envelopes, and I'm supposed to put something in it and then mail it to the address on the envelope. And I'm sure he gets it, but I don't like to like write out a personal check for like $10. That's what I tip him usually, 10 or 20 bucks every... I don't know how often, just when I feel like it, I suppose, or when I get real sensitive and cushy about it. But lately, I wanted to meet him. I wanted to shake his hand. I wanted face-to-face to say, here is a tip. Here, it's coming out of my wallet. Here is the bill. And I'm not the bill, but not the invoice, but the $20 bill. I'm putting it in your hand. I want to shake your hand and say you're doing a fine job of putting the paper on my porch each and every day. Thank you for your service. Just thank you for your service, sir. I want to shake his hand. I want to feel that connection to my paper man. So for the past few mornings, I've been waking up really early, which I do anyway. I get up 4 a.m. every single day to do this crap for you. But I'm making a concerted effort to look out the window to catch my paper man pulling up into my driveway, getting out of the car, and then when he puts the paper on my front porch, which are the instructions, which he does follow, then I can say, "Hi, I'm Ron. I'm the person to whom you're delivering the papers. You can now put a face to the paper here. I just want to give you this $20 bill and say thank you for your service." And he would smile and say, "Oh, thank you, thank you. Thank you." I don't know what accent that is. It's just a general accent that isn't mine, is what that is. That's my impression of somebody who doesn't talk like me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I don't know what accent that is at all. I don't. And he would be grateful and shed a tear and you saved my life. Now I can eat. You know, I don't know if it goes that far, but you know, it could happen. So I've been waiting. And just to the reason I bring this, why the hell you bring this up, Ron? Just today. This is the longest introduction to a show I've ever done, by the way. Just today, I sit down here to have a cup of cafe, which I rarely have because I hate coffee. But again, you have to have it. It's the law. If you're going to remain on this planet as what they call a human being, you must drink the coffee. Otherwise, someone thinks that you're inadequate and you're wrong. You just must drink coffee. It is a requirement. When you wake up in the morning, you brush your teeth, put some clothes on, preferably pants, and you must have coffee. It's just, otherwise you cannot continue as a human being and you'll be chastised and jailed. So I have my coffee and I hear this little sound and I think it's the sound of a car door. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I'm going to finally today meet my paper man. And I get the $20 out of my wallet and I run to the front door in order to catch him there. Because I got about 10, 15 seconds between the time he gets out of his car and arrives on my front porch. There's a walkway and it's you know, there's a little bit of a walk involved. So I open up the door and I'm ready to say hello to Paper Man. I open up the door and I'm even starting to say as I'm opening up my door, hello, I'm about to say hello. And I open up and there's the paper, but no Paper Man. And I think, oh my God, did I just miss him by that much? And I run out with in my underpants, ladies and gentlemen. I was going to hand him a $20 bill in my underpants, I suppose. I don't know. They can be construed shorts. My penis isn't hanging out. It's contained. It's contained. If I was wearing the white underpants, I'd say, no, those are white underpants. That's disgusting. But they're black. They're black. They're colored. They could be like really tight shorts. I've seen them before at the beach. So I run into toward the driveway figuring, oh, I'll catch him. Yeah, I'll catch him, yeah. Here's this man delivering my paper, and he looks up, and he sees this other grown man running at him in his underpants. Not a pretty picture for anybody. But by the time I get to the driveway, all I see in the distance is the car, the tailpipe of the car driving away, and another day that I've missed my paper man. And so the quest continues.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird if you like that sort of thing. Whatever.
Welcome to the program. My name is indeed Betsy Rabinowitz. That's my pen name. Actually, Sean Penn is my pen name. I am Ron Van Dam. You can reach me by sticking your hand out and shaking mine. That's how you reach me. No high fives, no nickel bumps, no knuckle bumps, no nothing there. I hand sanitize. Yes, I do. I hand sanitize. I go to supermarkets, to the entrance of supermarkets, just to hand sanitize because they get free hand sanitizer. Not many places you can get free stuff anymore. You go to a mall, they got water fountains. Still have water fountains. Never stick your mouth on that little faucet part. You don't know where it's been. Some guy with some type of sexual transmittable disease has been putting his mouth on that thing. Girls, too. You be careful, kids. Be careful with the water that comes out of there. That's free. So is the hand sanitizer. Welcome to the program. By the way, if you want to get in touch with me, it's not going to happen, pretty much. You can check my email. Actually, I'll check my email. You can't check my email unless you have my password. Wait a minute. You can't check my email. You can pick up my laundry, please, and my dry cleaning if you could. Could you pick up? By the way, I went to my dry cleaners yesterday because I get my shirts dry cleaned. I don't, because wet cleaning never seems to work for me. I like a good starchy shirt, you know? A good starchy shirt. Went to this place, $2.75 per shirt. That's what I paid for it originally. It's ridiculous. That's like going to Salvation Army and buying a shirt for $2 and having it cleaned. It's like more than what you bought the shirt for. Hello? It don't make sense. $2.75, and I said to the lady behind the counter, why is it, how, I don't even know what dry cleaning is. What do you do? What do you do? How do you clean something without using liquid? How do you dry clean it? What do you do? What do you do? How do you do that? She says, I don't know. We send it out. So it's just crazy. Crazy stuff. $2.75 to dry clean a shirt, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, I have my underpants dry cleaned as well. Heavy starch. It's annoying, but at least I'm getting something for my money. You know what I'm saying? And those babies need to be dry cleaned. Believe me, they need to be dry cleaned on a hanger. I like my underpants on a hanger, please. Heavy starch and on a hanger. Yeah, I can't go back to the dry cleaners anymore. They won't take me. I've never been banned from a dry cleaners. Except for, you know, now, because of the underpants thing. I don't know. It's the fetish I have, I suppose. I like my underpants, like, really dry cleaned. I don't know. That washing machine crap, they don't do it for me. Yeah. That's where my boys are. That's where my boys are. My boys deserve to have my trio, my trilogy, deserves to have a washing machine? No. Dry cleaning? Yeah, I'll spring for it. Anyway, I don't even know what the hell I was talking about. Dry cleaning. I went to dry cleaners. I have no idea. I'm totally lost. You can reach me by going to my email, which is ronvandamshow@gmail.com. Gmail sounds like I've just gotten out of the armed services, and I'm using this particular email thing. Gmail, isn't that what they used to use in the military, like way back? I think so, before they had email. RonVandamShow@gmail.com. If you send me any kind of negative comment whatsoever, I will spam and delete you like you wouldn't believe. And when I spam and delete you, it goes far beyond the email. Just saying, okay? You don't want me to spam and delete you. You can say nice things about me, about how I've lost a lot of weight and how great I look. You can do that. Did you ever have your spouse or your girlfriend, and it's always a female that does this, say to you, do I look fat in this dress? First of all, that's a rhetorical question. Secondly, don't you dare ever answer it. Change the subject quickly. She says, do I look fat in this dress? You respond by saying, it's a beautiful day outside, isn't it? I've never seen puffy clouds like that before. Don't answer it. You could say, no, you don't look that fat. I mean, you don't look fat at all in that dress, is what I'm saying. And of course, the dress is like horizontal stripes. You're not supposed to lie. There was a Geico commercial about a year ago or something, and Abraham Lincoln is standing in the bedroom next to his wife. I think it was Mary Todd. I really didn't know her personally. I think it was her. And she turns to Abe Lincoln, to her husband, says, Abe, do you think I look fat in this dress? And Abe, of course, he cannot tell a lie. He didn't respond. He didn't know what to say. Actually, it was George Washington who couldn't tell a lie. How come only those two presidents couldn't lie and all the rest of them really could really well? I don't know. That's how things have changed. Anyway, don't ever answer that question, ever. It's a loaded question. You need backup. You need backup. If you're going to answer that question honestly, you need backup. Just don't do it. Don't do it. Pack your bags, move out before you don't ever answer that question. Don't say, yes, you look fat. Don't. God, I don't think any man would. He knows where his bread is buttered, or you know what I'm saying. That's what she said, right? Yeah, I know. Anyway, man, I'm all over the place today. All over the place.
Have you ever wondered how Ron Van Dam manages to sound so damn sexy podcast after podcast after podcast? It's simple. No pants. Ever. Pants are for suckers. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Pants-free podcasting at its finest.
I was born in New York City, by the way, to a poor bunch of people there. No, my parents were both living in New York at the time, and they had a baby, and I guess it was me, it turned out to be. And the thought of my parents even lying in bed and conceiving me is something that I cannot wrap my head around. Talked about this before, but I do it frequently in order to get a reality check on life. And it is this: whenever I do thank my parents for my existence, or blame them, I don't know which road to take there, but the mere thought, the mere picture of them lying together in a bed, my very own mother and father, who are never supposed to have sex ever, it would be like two worlds colliding. You couldn't, don't ever, oh, ugh. Just the thought of them even kissing was like, you sure you want to do that? The idea of my father actually taking his male member and invading it upon my mother's cavern of hell is just an amazing concept that I shall never be able to get out of my mind ever. I'm figuring that the act of conception must have taken no more than like 2.5 seconds, because anything longer than that would just be wrong. It would just be wrong. You're my mother. You're my father. You can't have sex. You're not allowed to do that. And if you do happen to do it, and I'm not saying that you ever really conceived me through the conventional methods, I think my father was probably playing with himself and my mother rolled in it. That is so disgusting, Ron. I can't believe you even said that. I can't believe you even said that. But I did. That's the only way that I can possibly make this a reality in my mind. It was like he was a sperm donor. It's the only method of conception I can come up with. But they did have some type of intercourse, I suppose. And then my brother, I mean, he must have, I don't know how that happened, because I was around then. I was around. I have a younger brother. I had a younger brother. He was after me, and I never saw a situation where my mother and father even touched each other after I was born. I don't really think they did. I think they touched each other in order to hand over papers and documents. And I think that my father once said, can I have a napkin? And my mother gave him a napkin at the dinner table. And I think that was the only physical connection they had ever had since I was born. I don't know. I'm assuming that one night when I went to bed early, which seemed to be every night, which is still the case, by the way, my sleeping patterns have not changed. I go to bed early all the time. I do. I'll go to bed like 3 o'clock in the afternoon if it wasn't so embarrassing. It probably would. I get up so early in the morning, it's not funny. It's really not funny. Nothing's really funny at this point. I get up sometimes like at 4 or 4:30 in the morning and I start my day. And that's just the way I've always been like that.
What do you care? Why am I even telling you this? What business is it of yours what time I get up in the morning? Come on, man. Get off my back. Come on. Do I ask you what time do you get up in the morning? Anyway, I must have gone to bed, and my mother and father must have been in a drunken stupor. That's all I can... It's the only thing I can come up with. They both were in a drunken stupor, and they fell down, and my father fell on top of my mother somehow. I mean, it can happen. And then, boom, my brother. Bang, bang. Bang, my brother. All right, fine. All right, fine. That's enough. That's pretty much... I should end the show right now because obviously I'm not in the proper frame of mind to do something like this. You know, this takes a lot of preparation, of which I had none. I never prepare for this show, by the way. I'm never prepared for this show, ever, ever, ever. I never do any research. I don't Google anything. I don't care to, or really won't. I don't want to do it. You know that enter button on your keyboard? It's poison to me. I don't even want to touch it. I don't even want to touch it. No, no, no. And I'm scared to Google anything because no matter what I type in, it comes up on a porn site. I don't understand because I don't go to porn, ladies and gentlemen. I don't need to go to porn. I've got enough porn in my life. Believe me, I got plenty of it in real life. I don't need it on the internet. So I don't know what that meant either. I really don't. The whole world is a hotbed of porn. Come on. If I had little tiny kids, I wouldn't let them go on the internet because all they'd have to do is Google anything. I mean, if they Googled school supplies, it would come up with, you know what I'm saying? It's just disgusting. Try Googling school supplies. You know what you're going to find? Yeah. Some like 16-year-old girl sticking a ruler up her, you know what I'm saying? That's what happens. That's what happens on this internet of pleasure. It's everywhere you go. You can't get away from it. You can't. It's just there. And I guess there are certain parental guidelines or things that you can put into your computer system, but then you're going to have to run all over the world and somehow block these things out because they're everywhere. They're just everywhere. I went to American Airlines website to find out what time a plane was arriving. I was picking someone up from the airport, and... I hit enter, and somehow these two women were making love in the back seat of a plane. I mean, it was a little smaller private plane, granted, but they were going at it, man. They were going at it. Those stewardess uniforms were just getting ripped off left and right. And by the way, that's very sexist for me to say because there are also stewards. They're called flight attendants now. It can be a man. It can be a woman. To be honest with you, if I'm going to get on a plane and risk my life going from point A to point B, I prefer women be taking care of me than some kind of man. Hey, fasten your seatbelt. Could you have a lady tell me that, please? Because I'm a guy.
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does. On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Did you ever get up in the morning, go to the bathroom, it's the first thing I do, and then you look in the mirror because you have to, and you look up and your eyes are bagged up, there's circles under your eyes, your hair is like pointing in every direction possible. The bottom of your mouth is sagging with drool coming out of it. Your face is all pocked up with pox and holes in them and pimples and things. Your one shoulder is lower than the other. There's a little drip of snot coming out of your left nostril. Never the right one, always the left one. And you look in the mirror.
and you say to yourself, well, if I comb my hair, if I wash my face, if I took a shower, if you put some makeup on, then I would look fantastic. But then you come to the realization that that's not the way it really is. This, what I am staring at in the mirror, is me. It is me before I do stuff to myself. This is the way I really look. If I were not to do anything to myself whatsoever, this is the way I look. This is honestly, truly what I look like. It defies everything that you thought about yourself.
I'm a good-looking person, man. Yeah, I got it going.
No, you don't. Look in the mirror first thing in the morning. You don't have it going for yourself. You got nothing going.
And then you step on the scale. And you always think you weigh something. A certain number you have in your mind. You get on the scale because you had a little pasta last night because, my God, you tried to enjoy something that is tasty and luscious, and you wanted spaghetti. You wanted pasta. And you enjoyed it. Twirling that thing around the fork with the sauce dripping off of it and a little bit of cheese on it. That's tasty crap. The next morning, you get on the scale and, oh my God, how did this happen? It must be water weight gain. No, it's not. It's what you weigh. This is how you look. This is what you weigh. Oh my God. It can't be. It is. And then a little bit later, you shower, you wash your hair, you make it look good, straighten it, curl it, whatever it is you do to yourself, you little bastard. You brush your teeth, clean up your skin, put a little makeup on if you're a girl, got to cover up your face so no one knows what you look like, really. Put on some clothes that make you look decent, make you look skinnier, make you look sexy, whatever the case may be. Make you look successful, make you look together. You weren't born with clothes on. Those are accoutrements. They are not really you. They're things that you put on you. No, your true identity is what you look like in the morning when you look in the mirror. That's what you look like. Without any shit put on you. Ron, why are you doing this to us? Why are you exposing us? Why are you making us feel like we are nothing unless we adorn ourselves with something? Because, ladies and gentlemen, it's a reality tour. Life is a reality tour. You are who you think you are. It's a magic trick. It's smoke and mirrors. I have a friend who's married, and his wife will not appear unless she is dressed and has her makeup on and has her hair perfectly worked on. We had a couple's dinner thing, and me and my lovely woman went over to this guy's house and to pick he and his wife up for this dinner reservation. And we got there early. And we ring the doorbell. And the guy comes to the door and he says, oh, you're early. I said, yeah. He says, you want to come in? I said, yeah. I said, well, where's your wife? Oh, she's upstairs. I said, oh. And she won't come down until she's totally ready. What? Yes, she's never seen in public until she is totally made up, totally dressed, makeup on, hair perfectly done. That is her persona. She shall let no one else see her until she looks like that. I said, how long has this been going on? He says, Ron, I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something, Ron.
She does not even let me see her until she has fixed herself up in the bathroom. I said, don't you guys sleep in the same bed? Yes, we do. But she will not expose herself until she is made up. Even to me. I said, oh my God. Oh my God. Ladies and gentlemen, we are only what we think we are.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird if you like that sort of thing.
Gentlemen, you know that when you decide to get engaged, you'll be making one of the most important investments of your life. Think about it. From the moment you get down on bended knee and present the ring, how much you actually love someone will be judged solely on the size of the stone you buy. And not just by the one you love, but by literally everyone she knows. And strangers. At Schlickershek the Jewelers, we know that when you're about to cough up what amounts to a few months' rent to obtain the exclusive naming rights to a vagina, you want to be able to be sure that you've made the best choice. So if you've decided it's time to staple gun your man tackle to a single hitching post and to never be able to experience the simple joy of a meaningless hookup without handing over half your stuff, come to Schlickershek the Jewelers and see our amazing line of certified, high-quality, shallow female ego strokers. Take it from me, Herbert Schlickershek the. I'm not just your local jeweler. I've been married 6.5 times. Vegas marriages, boys. Very easy to annul when the shrew goes south on you. And she will.
You know, I've always wanted to download Words with Friends, because I hear a lot of people play that game. It's Scrabble, basically, and I like Scrabble. Scrabble's fun. That's how I like my eggs. Oh, that's scrambled. I'm sorry. I get mixed up sometimes. But, I like to play Scrabble. Words with Friends, you know, that sounds like a fun game. And then I downloaded the game, and I went to play it, and I realized I can't play Words with Friends. I don't have any friends. So, you can't play. You have the option to challenge anybody at all on the entire internet who has that downloaded as well. But I can't. They're strangers. I don't know them. And it's not Words with Strangers. It's Words with Friends. So, it's just another game I can't play. It's sad. It's very sad. And I've downloaded Angry Birds, and to be honest with you, I don't need to play with Angry Birds. I don't really want to know Angry Birds. If there's a bird and it's angry and it's going to start blowing up things and buildings and being an angry bird, I don't want to. That's not good for me. It's not good for my aura, my health. I'll play Happy Birds, but there's no such game like that. I don't like the online games. And this Candy Crush, what? It's when I play it, I feel like some type of a moron, an excused expression. But what am I doing? I'm sitting here in front of a screen, and with my little mousy pointy thing, I'm making candy collapse, and then other candy comes down, and I get points. I'm an adult. I'm an adult now. What am I doing with my life? Sitting in front of a screen and making candy collapse, and more candy comes down and you click on it. What's going on? What's become of me? I went to a doctor recently. Seems like I can always say that. I sit in a waiting room and I just marvel at the other people. They just sit there and nobody looks at each other anymore. Not that I like that part of it. But everybody whips out their phone as soon as there's an awkward moment, which is always. And everybody's on their phone. And I look around and it's just sad. It's just sad. You know what's really sad about it is they're probably playing Words with Friends because they have friends. And that's the sad part.
There's a big sign on the wall of my doctor's office waiting room. The waiting room, by the way, is if you're not going to the doctor because you feel you're sick, if you wait in a room with 30 other sick people, you'll be sick. It's the perfect setup. All right, how can we get people to come to the doctor more so we can make more money? I know. Let's take all the people and put them in a room with sick people. That's good. I like that. I like that. Makes sense. I'm out of time. Have yourselves a wonderful day. Thank you for indulging me. And I wish you peace. It's over. Go now. Go away. Bye. Go somewhere. Don't you have something else to do? It's over.